Well, I am thankful to Adam for leading singing. I'm really thankful that he asked all of y'all to stand so y'all wouldn't have to watch me walk down by myself and wiping the sweat off my brow. That didn't happen, but that's okay. I'm thankful to be here. I love this church. I love every person here. And I hope that you feel the same way about me. We're in this together. I'm not a preacher. He'll be back next week. I enjoy the opportunity, though, anytime that I have to speak with you on something that's important to me. So here's where I want to start this morning. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life." That is essential to what we believe, it's essential to what we teach, and it's essential to who God is, because God loves us. We're going to talk about family this morning. I'm going to try to answer two questions for us, and there will be other answers that maybe you will write down as well. Two questions: how do we know that God loves families? The second question: how can we be a God-loving family? Don't let this alarm you, but I got 11 points, okay? But I'm going to talk quick. Hopefully, we'll get through it. My family is everywhere today. Shay is in Miami with the youth group and some other adults. Mary Beth and her husband Jacob are in London, England today. Josh is down in Alabama. My parents are in Mississippi. I've got one brother that's in Germany serving in the Army. I've got another brother that's preaching over in Hohenwald today. They're everywhere. But I have comfort in knowing that they're okay. Why? Because God is where they are. And I'm trusting, I have faith that God is going to be protecting them wherever they are today. And I hope you can feel that same comfort and trust and confidence in God that I do to take care of your family. God loves families, not just as a structure, but as a vital, God-ordained part of his creation. How do I know this? Number one, God created the first family. If you look in the book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2, you will know that God created Adam first, and then in verse 18 of chapter 2, he said, "It is not good that man be alone." So he created Eve out of Adam. He made marriage and family from the beginning. They were blessed to multiply and form the first family. The family was God's intention. It was not man's invention. From the beginning, family is important. And God would not create something that he didn't value. Now, when we talk about family units today, here's what I want you to know. I'm not talking about just mom, dad, and the kids. You know, it may be mom and dad. It may just be mom. It may just be dad. You know, we have, you know, widows and widowers, and you're still a family unit. We may have a blended family today where you've blended two families together. What I want you to know is when I talk about family, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about your home. So don't throw out this message today and think that, well, Bill's just talking about mom, dad, and the kids. I'm not doing that, although it's going to be applicable to them. It's applicable to every person in here who is going to go home to a dwelling place today. Number two, God gave instructions to families. If you look in Deuteronomy chapter 6, you're going to find this phrase: impress these commands on your children. God's plan includes the home as a teaching place. Parents, you have been given the task to pass on to the next generation who God is, who Jesus, his son, is, and model those things in front of your children. God's word is to be spoken daily at home, on the road, when you're lying down, when you're rising up in the morning. See, God sees the family as spiritual training ground. And parents, grandparents, you need to be taking every opportunity that you can to be teaching your children and grandchildren about who God is and who Jesus is. Third, God uses language. He uses family language for His people. Throughout Scripture, you hear of phrases like "our Father in heaven" or "brothers and sisters in Christ." We are adopted as sons and as daughters of God. The church has been described as the household of faith. These terms describe closeness, intimacy, belonging. You see, God uses family to help us understand how deeply He cares for us. Number four, Jesus honored family life. Mark 10, verse 14, "Let the little children come to me." John 19, 26, "Woman, behold your son." Jesus welcomed children. He respected marriage. He cared for His mother. He lived in a home. He honored His earthly parents. He taught family principles. Even on the cross, He wanted to make sure that His mother was cared for. Jesus never diminished family. He dignified it. And number five, the church is a spiritual family. It's called the household of faith, which is the church, 1 Timothy 3:15. You see, we're not alone. We are part of God's spiritual family. It gives me great comfort to know that if I'm hungry today, one of you is going to invite me to go to lunch with them, because my family's out of town. I'm just kidding. I'm not plugging for that. But here's what the church family does. The church family loves, it supports, it forgives, and it grows together. We're a family because of not anything that we have done, but because of what God has done through His Son Jesus. We're family. The church mirrors the family values that God has established from the beginning. Families point to something bigger: the community of faith in Christ. So we've talked about five ways that we can know that God loves families. One, He created them. He gave them instructions. He uses family language. Jesus honored family life Himself. And church is family. Real quickly, how can we know that we are a family that is a God-loving family? And I'm not talking about our church family collectively. I'm talking about your home. Whether it's you as a single person, you as a widow or a widower, you as a young couple that's just married, you that are starting off your life with a couple or five kids, as some of you have done, or whether your kids have just moved out of the house and you find yourself staring at each other, wondering, what do we do now? This is for you. To be clear, a God-loving family is not a perfect family, okay? But it is one that is centered around loving and serving God in every aspect of your life. It's impossible for there to be a perfect family because we're imperfect people. But we have to be aiming towards something. We've got to be aiming toward what God wants of us. And God wants us to be His people. He's put everything into place for us to be His people. That's why I started off with John 3:16 this morning. So real quickly, six things that I think will help us. Number one, a God-loving family begins by loving God. Back in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 9, we call this the Shema. It's a foundational command for God's people. And Moses was teaching the Israelites here that God's word is to be central in family life. It's to be taught diligently. It's supposed to be talked about constantly. And it's supposed to be displayed visibly. God-loving families don't just go to church. They build homes where God is talked about naturally. Parents, you are spiritual leaders in your home. You're supposed to be modeling a faith that is yours, that is passed down to your children. And what is that? That Jesus Christ is Lord. Here's a question for you and for me. Is love for God obvious in your home, routines, conversations, and decisions? Number two, God-loving families live out God-given roles. I would refer you to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 through chapter 6, verse 4. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. What's Paul laying out here? It's a Christ-centered family structure. Each role is rooted in love, in respect, in humility, in mutual submission. Husbands, you're told to love your wives like Christ. Wives, you're told to honor and support. Children, you're told to obey in the Lord. Parents, you are told to guide with patience and purpose. And when we fulfill these roles that are given to each one of us as is appropriate, we reflect God's nature in our homes. Here's a challenge for you and for me. Examine your role and ask yourself, how are you honoring God within your family relationship? Number three. Love must be practiced daily. I would refer you to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, specifically verses 4 through 7. You know the ones where it says, love is patient, love is kind. This passage is not just for weddings, although it's appropriate. It's essential for families. Paul describes love as action-oriented. It's not based on feelings, but on commitment and Christ-likeness. A God-loving family is patient with each other. It forgives. It bears burdens. And gives benefit of the doubt. Parents, teach your children, we don't just say I love you. We show it. Number four. God-loving families worship together. Joshua 24:15, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Joshua is setting an example here of spiritual leadership inside the home. You know, the Word of God is not just for Sundays. It's It's not just for Bible class. It's not just for worship at 10 o'clock and 5 o'clock. It's not just for Wednesday evening service at 6:30. It lights the way for everyday choices. So let's start simple. Pray together. Or if you're by yourself, pray. Read a psalm at dinner or some other scripture that's important to you. Talk about the message on Sunday as you drive home, or talk about what you learned in Bible class. What you're doing is you're building spiritual habits, family prayer time. Maybe moms and dads, you spend some time at the end of the day talking with your kids before they go to sleep about all the blessings that they saw during the day. Have devotionals together. Just quality time where you're opening up God's Word together and praying and talking to God. Here's a question. What spiritual practices are shaping your home? Number 5. God-loving families know how to forgive. Colossians 3:12-14. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. I know this is hard. I know there's real hurts and real pains. Forgiveness isn't optional. Forgiveness is essential. Okay? It's essential. Don't we need that from God? Don't we want that from God? We should be willing to give it. Families will have conflict. But God-loving families are marked by grace, not grudges. Understanding that some issues may not be fixable. We have to try. Parents, teach and model to your children how to say, I'm sorry and I forgive you. So here's a question for you and for me. Is your home a safe place to fail and grow? Lastly, faith is passed down by example. 2 Timothy 1:5, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. Genesis 6:9, Noah was a righteous man and he walked with God. Timothy's faith began in his home. Noah's entire family was saved because of his obedience to God. You don't need to be a perfect family with a perfect background to pass on a sincere faith. What you do in your home may influence your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren spiritually for generations to come. Eleven things, all total. Five, how can we know that God loves families? And six, how can we be a God-loving family? You know, one thing I'm most thankful for is this room. There's nothing special about this room other than the fact that you're in it. And the reason you're in it is because you love the Lord. And you also love the other people in this room. It's a special place. It's because you want to be a part of the Lord's family. If you've never put on Jesus Christ in baptism, you can be a part of God's family as well. There's a plan of salvation that's located in Scripture. And if you're interested in that and you're not ready for baptism, but you want to talk more about what the gospel is, please let us help you. If you're part of the church family and you have hurt in your life that you've caused, maybe, or you're struggling in some way that you need this church to help pray for you to a God who loves you and will forgive you, we're going to offer an invitation song. If you have any needs, please come forward as we stand in